faith in Christ, Acts 24:24 to Acts 25:12. We thank God that He has helped us to study His Word systematically, week after week, as we see the unfolding of God's plan in the salvation of men and women in Jesus Christ. We are in that gospel work. We are a part of the redemption plan of Jesus Christ, the glorious church of Jesus Christ on earth, the journey of faith in Christ. Dear friends, it's an exciting and rewarding one as we choose to keep faith, trusting and obeying God's guidance given in His Word for daily living, so that we, His people, may say that when the time comes for our departure, we never know when will be that last day, that last hour of life for us, when God will take us to heaven. Could it be this week? Could it be this year? Let it be that our life be lived, that we have no regrets, absent in the body, present with the Lord. We want to look back and say we have walked with God. We want to look back and say that we have a blessed journey, and that we want to say from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, I am ready. Receive me to glory. The Apostle Paul, at this time when he was writing this, or at this time of his life, about AD 60, and we know that he was martyred AD 67, not very long before end of life. At that time he did not know how much life he has, but he knows, and he wrote concerning how he had lived his life. He says this, and it's a good encouragement for God's people. He says, for now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He says, I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them that also love His appearing. Dear friends, do you love His appearing? The coming of our Lord, the return of our Lord, to give His reward of faith to each of His servants. That is a self-assessment of his life in the light of God's Word. These are the words that Paul wrote from the bottom of his heart as a witness of the Spirit of God that is in him. He speaks of a reward that he is expecting to receive. Do you live with that kind of an anticipation as you do the will of God? You may just be giving a cup of cold water, a cup of water, to someone who is thirsty. Well, the Lord says that your reward in heaven, indeed, will be given when He comes again. He is that righteous judge that the Apostle Paul is telling us, the fair and just ones. And we want to say that it will be worth it all to keep faith now and daily. That it will be worth it all when we see Jesus and receive our spiritual inheritance in Christ.
And what is the criteria that God gives to us concerning how the Christian is to live his life upon earth? Faithfulness. And that we be at the helm of the work that God has called us to do, and to do it with all our might for his honor and glory. And so the hymn writer, Esther Kerr Ruston, she testified and she wrote, "By faith, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ." Today's message is an encouragement to faith and courage to live the Christian life. A message to trust God, to obey his word, come what may. What a blessed life this is. And we see this in the testimony of the Apostle Paul as we follow him in his prison cell in Caesarea, where he was imprisoned. You know, there are those times in our lives where we are at the valley. It seems we have been forgotten, like the Apostle Paul. He would have spent 2 years in prison, under confinement, under chain. What a life! As I was preparing this message, I recall when we were studying the life of Joseph, and he was spending 2 years in Genesis 40 in prison. He was cast to prison because he refused to take advantage of his master's wife. And he, in prison, was able, by the revelation of God, to interpret two other fellow prisoners' dreams, the baker and the butler. But after he has interpreted the dreams for them and they were released from prison, they forgot him. One of them died. The other one was elevated to the presence of the Pharaoh. And he was consigned to another 2 years in prison. And sometimes when we have to go through the trials of life, it's so unbearable, isn't it? It could be chronic perennial sickness that would consign us to a hospital bed. It could be a loss of job. And we said, when is the work, the next assignment going to come? There are those seasons of life where we are found, as it were, in the cold. So unbearable. It's as if God is not there. And I recall we entitled our message at that time from Genesis 40, "In His Time." And we said the two thoughts, hope alive and hope dashed. It seems in life that sometimes, you know, circumstances can come where we thought things are going well for us, and next day, at the turn of the corner, everything seemed to have changed. The environment have changed. And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time." God appoints the seasons of life. And we find ourselves in the inadvertent seasons of life. A time of hope. A time of disappointment was Joseph's lot and Paul's lot while he was in Caesarea. And it is in those times where we find ourselves most needful to be looking to God, to keep faith in God. It is in those times where we need, as one pastor Charles Swindoll remarked, he says, it is a good time, the winter time, the ideal occasion to slow down. Right? When he was in prison, nothing much he could do. He was probably chained to the Roman guard. No freedom at all. It is in those times where it seems our freedom is curtailed. You may be consigned in a hospital bed for long periods of time. You may be experiencing certain difficulty, certain calamity in life. And this is a time where we need to keep faith in God, those quiet hours, to keep quiet reverence before God. When we cannot explain why things happen to us, we may say, like the psalmist, but our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He pleases. And therefore, as we go through the seasons of life, we need to take courage to keep faith. During those times, God is there. He's not dead. He's not deaf. And as the trial ends, you'll find that we would be stronger. We would be wiser. We would have, again, another opportunity to be a witness for God through the seasons of life. So for the Apostle Paul, this winter season of imprisonment in the cell of Caesarea was a period of 2 years, long time. And the Lord said to him, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, that he is to take courage. He is to continue to keep faith. Jesus said to him in Acts 23:11, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So you see, in life, sometimes it seems events move in a mundane manner. You go through life, and the mundane things of life seems to drag us in a dread. And we find ourselves as if we are in that rut. Well, the Lord tells us that we are in those times, that we are to continue to keep faith, to keep looking for the reward to come. And what did the Apostle Paul do during those times of trial? Two thoughts that he did. First, he witnessed for the Lord. Verse 24 to 27. Witnessing for the Lord. And verses 1 to 12 of verse 25. He stood firm in the Lord. He continued to trust the Lord. He continued to keep faith, following the Lord. This was his testimony, verse 24 of Acts chapter 24. He was a witness for the Lord in that difficult season of life where he found himself in prison. Verse 24 says, and after certain days, when Felix came and with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. So while he was in prison, like Joseph, he was waiting for an opportune time when God would use him to do His will for his life. You see, in every man and woman's life, God has a plan. And God
works out His plan perfectly as we tarry and wait with Him. For the man Abraham, you know, his life was can be summed up in just one thing. God gave him an heir in his son Isaac. And he waited a long time for the son to come. And that was his greatest accomplishment, because God's plan for his life was to bring forth that son, which would fulfill God's redemption plan. And so the Lord wants us to know and understand how life is to be lived. As you study the Word of God, you'll be able to understand the movements of God and the plan of God, the mind of God in the lives of His people. And you won't feel that it is indeed a very boring time that God has put us into a certain season, into a certain predicament. And for the Apostle Paul, his time of imprisonment was an opportunity for him to witness to the king of that region, the most influential, the most important man in that land. And because of his imprisonment, he's going to have that opportunity to come face to face before him to talk to him. And, you know, to be able to witness to such an important person as the king himself of the land is indeed a great privilege. Indeed, Jesus told him that he will be such a witness. Now, why is it that God has brought him to be a witness to this man Felix? Well, it is because the Lord wants him to share the faith of the gospel to this man. And our text tells us how he reasoned, verse 25, with Felix of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment. The word temperance means self-control. And our text tells us that Felix trembled when he heard those words that Paul spoke to him. Why is it that Felix trembled? Because the words of the Apostle Paul put the fear of God in the hearts of this man. You see, the circumstances leading up to his marriage, Felix's marriage to Drusilla, was a really telling one of the character of this man. Drusilla was married to another king in that region. She was the wife of Azizus, king of Amicia, a small territory in Syria. And Felix met Drusilla during one of his royal visits, and he was overcome with desire for this woman. And Josephus, the historian, tells us that she did indeed exceed all other women in beauty, and longing to make this woman his own wife, Felix, the historian recorded, secured the services of a magician from Cyprus and made every effort to take her away from Azizus. And enticed by many promises that Felix made to make her a happy woman, she was persuaded to leave her husband and become Felix's wife. So if you think of it, in the sight of God's law, that is a no-no, right? It would be chaotic, the breaking of the seventh commandment. So this was what the Apostle Paul did when he spoke to this man, Felix. He pointed out to him how he may get right again in his life. And you remember the man called John the Baptizer? He was another man who spoke to the king. And he pointed out to another king concerning the immoral relationship that they had. And what happened to John the Baptizer? Well, he was beheaded. One of our messages when we were studying the life of Christ, we went through that. And indeed, to keep faith in God is a happy thing. Because God gives us His law, and His laws bring order to the lives of His people. In our adult Sunday school, we are studying the institution of the marriage, the relationship between the husband and the wife, the relationship between parents and children, how children are to obey their parents, how husbands are to love their wives, how wives are to submit to their husbands. These are the laws of the universe, we say, given by the Maker Himself. And when we practice it, when we obey it, when we love it, there is order in our lives, order in our homes, order in society. You have blessed marriages, blessed home life. And indeed, this was what the Apostle Paul was doing. He was sharing the better way. And you know, we are going to have our gospel rally next week, and we speak about the meaning of life, and we were speaking about order in life, order in society. Why is it that without God's law there is a lawlessness that pervades human society, human life? When there is no law and order, there's no fear of God, there is chaos. Husbands cheat the wife, brothers cheat the sister, sister, parent cheat the children. Life is chaotic. And we have testimonies of those whom we have met who tell us, I'm tired, weary of life. Because there seem to be no absolute. There seem to be no order. Where has God's laws gone? I've learned of them in church, but it is not practiced. And so our encouragement to such a one is that you be the one to begin to do that. And that is the order that God's word, the love of God, brings to our lives, brings to our heart. And Paul had that opportunity to go before the king. Imagine when the king's life is put in order. Indeed, there will be great rejoicing in the land when the king's life is right, to mete out righteous judgment. How wonderful it is, how it permeates into society. And the Lord wants us to see how we can be a witness for Him in our daily life. You never know who God would place before you this coming week, who God will ask you to speak to. And we must be prepared. Our lives must first be in order before we can be a blessing to the people that God will bring before us. And I recall there was one time I made a visit to the Philippines with our pastoral advisor, and we were there in one area, in one place, where we could see the Mayan volcano. The Mayan volcano is the most active volcano in the world, and it's just in the horizon. And the people who lived there, this pastor and his family and his children, were given the task to minister to the police and the army recruits. They have free access so that they are able to conduct Bible study, able to conduct gospel sessions with this. And as we think of it, they were in this work for maybe 20 years, 30 years. And every time they look in the volcano, they know that any time this is going to erupt. And their life is, you know, they are as if living on the edge. Because, and we were brought to a place where the volcano had, the devastation of the volcano. How the whole place was, the whole village was covered up. How frightening. And there they were doing their work. And we said that these people have great courage. They are doing a good work. Because in there, imagine when the police, people in the army get converted. When God put a moral, His moral law in them, right, there would be a great sanctifying effect on the whole nation. This was what Paul was doing when he was witnessing to this man. Amidst the difficulties, amidst all the rigors of prison life that he had to endure. And you see, Paul did not, you don't hear him whining. You don't hear him complaining. Somehow God is able to instill the kind of restfulness in his heart to know that he is walking in the center of God's will, and that he was doing the will of God, and that God will not leave him. He said in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them which are the called according to His purpose." And before this, he gave a word of encouragement to the believers. He tells them, "Likewise, Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Sometimes in those difficult moments of life, we don't know how to pray anymore. But God is there for you. The Spirit of God in you will pray to strengthen and comfort you. So Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay any charge, anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am persuaded, he said. He says, yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor death, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be in a hospital because of some sickness, or it may be that God will bring you to the most unexpected place this week, or in the days to come. Dear brethren, he allows these circumstances in your life to try your faith, that it may be genuine. For the Apostle Paul, even though he was in prison, he did not curse God and die. But he kept faith. He knew his mission. God wants us to see in our trials that we may experience his sufficiency. This is what Paul experienced during the time of his trial. He experienced the presence of God protecting him through life. Moment by moment, you know, it is said that the believer is immortal till the day that he has finished all his labor for the Lord. And you can see how God kept this man, strengthened him. And so he had that opportunity to experience God in those difficult times, those trials of faith. He experienced the care and love from his God. Our text tells us, well, he was in prison. You know, in the Roman prison in Caesarea, the Romans do not cater food for prisoner. But he's in that kind of a situation whereby food can be brought from the people outside, the church outside, to care for him. And so for him, it is interesting that while he was in prison, he was able to experience the care of God's people before him, bringing food to take care of him, so that he was not alone. It was a time where he was able still to experience the care of God in his life. And it is interesting also to see that he had the opportunity to stand before the king. Also, from verses 1 to 12, he had to learn to stand firm in the faith in the midst of enemies of the Lord, who wanted to take his life because he was for the gospel. You remember, while he was in Jerusalem, there were 40 men who took a vow that they would kill him. They would set an ambush. He managed to escape because his nephew, his sister's son,
found out about what happened and came and informed him of the danger. And he escaped. He managed to tell the commander of the Roman army, and then he managed to commander sent a group of soldiers to usher him from Jerusalem safely to Caesarea. And now again, you see, circumstances were changing. The man Felix, he shared the gospel with, the man who trembled when he spoke, he thought perhaps there's some hope. But our text tells us that this man Felix, because of what he had done to the Jews, you see, the background is that there were insurrections, and the situation in Palestine at that time was very chaotic. And Felix tried to quell the insurrection of the Jews by being very hard, sending the army against the Jews. And so they hated him. And because of this, verse 1, chapter 35 tells us that Festus, another general or another king, was sent from Rome to replace Felix. That's why you see in verse 1 of our text that there's another man called Festus who would come, Porcius Festus, who would come to replace Felix. And this was what happened. There was a change in the leadership or in the authority, and he found himself again in trouble. Verse 2 of Acts 25 tells us the high priest and the chief, after 3 days, this Festus came from Rome. After he came, 3 days later, he left Caesarea to go to Jerusalem in order to meet the Jews. Why? Because as the governor, he had to make sure that he's able to get the support of the Jewish leaders. And so he went 3 days later, immediately. And look what the Jews said to Festus when he met them. The first thing in their agenda for discussion is that they want Paul dead. That was the hatred. Why? What was he doing that was wrong? He was helping the people, sharing the gospel, freeing them from the bondage of sin. I believe many were healed. And the story is such, right, that they wanted that Paul be sent to Jerusalem in order that he may be tried before the Jewish council. And Paul knew, our text will tell us, that if he goes down to Jerusalem, there will be great danger for him. And, you know, through life, when you're walking with God, the Lord guides you. The Lord guides your thoughts as you pray, as you take time in His Word. The Lord guides you what you can do, what you ought to do in life. And for the Apostle Paul, it was imminent danger if he would go to Jerusalem. So these 12 verses basically tells us that he is in great danger. And Festus would want to please the Jewish leadership. And there's one other thing which I left out earlier regarding Felix. Why, you know, for 2 years he was allowed to be kept in prison? Well, our text tells us that Felix was waiting for a bribe from Paul. Because he came with lots of money.
to give to the Jerusalem church, you see, and perhaps this was made known. Right? And Felix was waiting for a bribe so that he may release Paul, and Paul, well, was not going to do that. And he remained in prison. He could not be released because there isn't sufficient evidence, or he was not properly tried. But he would not be sent to Jerusalem also, because the leaders or the king knew that he was a Roman citizen. Remember, that was the other detail about his life, that because he's a Roman citizen, a Roman citizen has rights. He cannot be summarily judged without trial. That was how the Lord protected him. And the Lord wants us to see that in true life, you know that God guides you in every area of your life, every event of your life, every relation that He brings to you. He makes no mistakes. The Apostle Paul, he was born a Roman. And you see how this would be saving grace for him. Because if he doesn't go to Jerusalem, he does not stand before the Jewish council, then what is the way out? Well, for him, he says, I appeal to Caesar. Verse 11 of our text says, I refuse, if I have committed anything, he says, worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there is none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. So you see how God make a way out for him in the most difficult moment of his life. God was there. And what did Festus say? Well, Festus had to agree. Verse 12. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And so you see how the Lord was leading Paul to fulfill his will. Jesus said to him that you have witnessed for me in Jerusalem. Now I will bring you to Rome. He thought that he would be released from prison after his term in Caesarea, and then he can make his way as a free man to Rome. But this was not to be. God's way for him was that he is going to be sent. And we said that while he was in Caesarea, most likely he wrote the book of Philippians. And you see, when he was in Rome, you would see that he indeed was brought right into the midst of Caesar's palace. He's going to be trialed by Caesar himself. And how he's going to be able to be at the most influential position amongst the most influential people in the kingdom, in the largest or the greatest empire of his time. See, God makes no mistakes. God was using him as a witness, and indeed, as a witness for Jesus Christ. We not only share our faith, but there are times when you need to stand firm for your faith amidst distress, amidst situations whereby when you profess and confess Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer some loss. And the encouragement, the admonition for us is that we are to keep faith in those times of trial. Mustn't crumble. Mustn't let fear overwhelm you. But continue to trust the Lord that He makes no mistakes, that He is able to do all things well. The trials of life, of faith in Christ, as a witness for the Lord, standing firm for the Lord. The journey of faith in Christ, dear friends, as we said in our introduction, is an exciting and rewarding one as we choose to keep faith, trusting and obeying God's guidance given in His Word for daily living, so that when the time comes for our departure to heaven, there is no regrets. That we may look back and say that we have walked with God, that it was a blessed journey, and here am I, ready to be received to glory. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Lord, we see how it was a life that was totally surrendered. He had only 7 years to live. Oh Lord, he did not know. He did not know of the persecution to come. He did not know of the trials that were before him. But he knew that he had his God with him, who is able to do all things exceedingly well as he kept faith. O Lord, may Thou strengthen the faith of Thy people to help us indeed to keep our faith, stand our ground as a witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in these last days. O Lord, the world indeed is chaotic. There is that lawlessness, anarchy. But Lord, may Thou bring order to the lives of Thy people. And may that order permeate through us as we live as salt and light for our Lord. May Thou use Thy people for Thy own glory this coming week. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.